The station with more hair, more flair, yet so debonair.
RadioInfluence.com.
He got him
in the white trunks.
He heard it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he forced the top.
Wow. Hey,
here's Lucas and Mitchell. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over.
First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
After several weeks of debate in the mixed martial arts community of what would take place with the UFC women's featherweight title, the organization has made a decision, and I am going to talk about that decision here on this week's episode of the MMA Report podcast on Radio Influence. Along with talking about that and getting you ready for this weekend's MMA, I'm going to have four interviews for you here on this week's episode of the podcast. Going to be joined by two UFC fighters and two Bellator fighters. You're going to hear from Marvin Vettori, who's going to be fighting on Sunday night in Oklahoma City at UFC Fight Night 112, as be a part of the preliminary card on FS2, taking on Vitor Miranda. Yes, you did hear that correctly. FS2 is where the televised prelims will be taking place. So we'll hear talk to Marvin about his fight on Sunday against Vitor Miranda. Also, we're going to hear from Jakar Close, who's going to be returning to the UFC cage coming up on Friday night, July the 7th, at the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 finale. He's going to take on Mark Dykes. We'll talk to the MMA Lab product about his upcoming fight. Also, we'll be joined by two fighters going to be competing on Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. You're going to hear from the welterweight champion, Douglas Lima. He is going to be defending that title against Lorenz Larkin. Also, we'll be joined by James Gallagher, who is going to be taking on Chinzo Machida. That matchup will be a part of the televised card on Spike TV, which, of course, will be prior to the main card there on pay-per-view. But I do want to let you know about my sponsor, Fight TV. Fight is your number one source for MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling video. It's your gateway to everything fighting, MMA, wrestling, boxing, and more, live on your phone or TV. You can download the Fight app today by going to Fight, FITE.TV/Radio Influence/. Once again, that is Fight, FITE.TV/Radio Influence/. And coming up this weekend on Fight TV, in terms of MMA, they've got a couple of MMA cards that you can purchase on Fight this weekend on Saturday. Of course, Saturday going to be obviously a big day in MMA. Of course, Bellator 180, Bellator NYC. Also, Cage Warriors 85 is going to be on Saturday, of course, on UFC Fight Pass. So a ton of MMA taking place this weekend. Also, Friday night, you've got LFA 14, which is going to be headlined by the vacant middleweight title fight. Brandon Allen takes on Eric Anders. Of course, we had Eric on the podcast last week, so you can go back, and if you want to go over to the MMAreport.com, you actually watch that interview in video form, because that's actually how I did that interview. So LFA puts on a ton of fight cards. That fight card also is going to crown the inaugural flyweight champion, as well as Roberto Sanchez is going to take on Jerome Rivera. So great action there on Friday night there on Access TV with LFA. But of course, everything this week is about Bellator 180, Bellator NYC. I mean, it doesn't happen very often that when you have a Bellator and a UFC event on the same weekend, that the Bellator event is the event that people are more debating about, whatnot. But this is one of those weekends, even though the UFC fight card does have some interesting matchups on that card. Obviously, the main event, Michael Chiesa and Kevin Lee, that is a big matchup there in the lightweight division. A couple other matchups, so I'll get into that a little bit later on. Of course, on Friday of this week, I will have a preview podcast, as myself and Daniel Galvan are going to preview the UFC fight card. Also, we will preview the Bellator event. Even though Bellator's calling this two different fight cards, but to me, it's just one fight card. It's just one long night of fights there at Madison Square Garden, which, by the way, Bellator did announce this week that the play-by-play roles for this event, as Mike Goldberg will be calling the preliminary card on Bellator.com and the Bellator 180 card on Spike, and Mauro Ranallo will be calling the fights on pay-per-view. Mauro Ranallo will be the desk host for Bellator 180, and Mike Goldberg will be the desk host for Bellator NYC. As I talked about previously, I have a previous engagement on Saturday night, so when it comes to Bellator 180, I'm going to have to watch that via DVR, and you know, we'll see how much of the main card I'm going to be able to watch live, but definitely going to order it. You know, here at my home, and you know, I'm guessing I'll probably see probably the last 2 hours of the pay-per-view live. But you know, it's you know, as this fight card has gotten closer, I'm more interested, as I said, very much interested in that Douglas Lima and Lorenz Larkin matchup. Also, I think people are sleeping on Brent Primus. I'm not saying I'm picking Brent to win. I just think that Brent is sleeping a little bit. I don't know what it is, but something about this fight just, it reminds me a little bit of when Michael Chandler won the Bellator lightweight title the first time, which of course was against Eddie Alvarez back in 2011. That's one of those nights, I think, for anyone in MMA, I think it's one of those nights you necessarily don't forget, because you had that happen that night. Also, that night was UFC 139, which had the great matchup there between Shogun Hua and Dan Henderson. But I do, for some reason, I just feel like people are sleeping a little bit here on Brent Primus. And we'll see whether, you know, that's something that after his fight card is over that you're like, man, I wish I would have picked Brent Primus because I would have looked like a genius. But for some reason, I think that they are sleeping a little bit, you know, on Brent Primus here. But looking for that matchup. Also, you know, interested in Aaron Pico. And, you know, look, the sky is the limit for this kid. If he ends up living to the hype, I think Aaron Pico will go down as the best free agent signing that Scott Coker has made with Bellator, if he can live up to that hype. And that's still a big if. If he can live up to that hype, I think Aaron Pico will go down as the greatest signing Bellator has ever made. But look, he has got a tough matchup here against Zach Freeman. Of course, the former RFA lightweight title challenger, 8-2 in his career. I mean, it's an odd matchup to me that this would be the matchup that you would give Aaron Pico in his first fight. Just a very odd matchup there, you know, in terms of it. But, you know, look, if Aaron Pico goes out there and just, you know, totally destroys Zach Freeman, we're all going to say, man, what, you know, performance. But when you're taking on a guy who's 8-2 in your first pro fight, and yes, he is 1-2 in his last three fights, but man, if you're taking on a guy who's 8-2 in your first fight, what's the second fight look like if you go out and win that fight? So definitely looking forward to that. You know, when it comes to the main event and co-main event, the thing about me is, it just seems that, you know, look, I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Of course, this podcast comes out on Wednesday mornings every week. And to me, there is just no buzz for Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen. And also, you know, kind of going back to, you know, I was mentioning that I have a previous engagement, so I'm not able to watch this event, this fight card live for the most part. Is so, you know, the company that is selling the commercial pay-per-view, which is the bar for bars and restaurants, is G&G Events. So on Monday of this week, I was like, all right, let me look on their website. And ended up, when I looked originally, there was only one place within 25 miles of my home here in Tampa, Florida, that was showing that pay-per-view. I went on Tuesday morning to see it was, and it had zero. That, to me, is not a good sign. I was actually maybe hoping that where I was going to be on Saturday night in that general area, there would be maybe a bar or restaurant that would be showing this pay-per-view. But, you know, not really a good sign, you know, that Bellator, and you know, we'll see. It, as this fight card hits Friday and Saturday, is there more of a buzz for this event? I hope there is. It's you know, look, this is a huge event for Bellator. I think this is a very expensive case study for Bellator, because I think this is going to give them an idea if there is an audience out there that is willing to pay a premium value for the Bellator product. What I mean by premium value, you know, a pay-per-view model. I mean, look, there in a way you can kind of say Bellator is a premium product, because to watch Bellator live, you have to have cable television, and cable television or satellite TV, you know, is not free. You have to pay money for it. So, but it's going to be, to me, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if there's a lot of people out there. You know, I saw Scott Coker and what his pay-per-view projections are. I don't think, you know, I don't think his pay-per-view projections are realistic. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this pay-per-view sells 250,000, 300,000 buys. I would love to be proven wrong because that would just be awesome for the sport of MMA, but I just don't see that happening. I think realistically, 125,000 to 150,000 pay-per-views is probably a realistic number, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope this pay-per-view sells 200, 300. I mean, I would love to see even more pay-per-view buys than that, but it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how people are interested in this pay-per-view. And you know, really the one thing about this event is I really do feel like no one's really talking about Bellator 180. You do have Phil Davis and Ryan Bader, and it was very interesting listening to Matt Mitrione's interview on Ariel Helwani's show this Monday, where he was talking about the fact of both these guys are on flat fee deals, and what it means by that, there is no win and show money. You know, it's not like their pay is doubling if they win. They're getting a flat fee. And Matt's point was the fact of, you know, when a guy has a win and show money, that they may fight a little more cautious and making sure they're putting their self in the best position to win, where if it's a flat fee, they might be willing to go out there and take a little more chances. I do expect that fight is still going to go 25 minutes. And I've been going back and forth on who I'm going to pick, so you're going to have to listen to the preview podcast on Friday to hear who I'm going to pick. Of course, later on in this podcast, you're going to hear my conversation with James Gallagher as he is going to be taking on Chinzo Machida. I talked to someone over in Ireland, and I asked him, I go, tell me the proper pronunciation. Now, I've always been saying it James Gallagher. And what I've heard people say, James Gallagher. And I had someone over in Ireland say, yeah, the G is silent. So it is Gallagher taking on Chinzo Machida. You'll hear that conversation later on the podcast. I had a really good conversation. One of the things that did come out in that conversation was the fact that he only does have two fights left on his deal. And that's something I do want to talk about later on the podcast. Also, you got Neiman Gracie against Dave Marfone, which, I mean, look, this is a, let's call it what it is. This is a showcase fight for Neiman Gracie. Also, you have Heather Hardy, who is making her professional MMA debut, known for her boxing, taking on Alice Yager. My understanding is this is basically kind of like a swing matchup. A part of Bellator 180 is because, look, to try to get four fights in a title fight that's likely going to go 25 minutes in a two-hour time frame where you got to put the commercials in, maybe a little tough. But Heather Hardy was a nice addition to this card. And the reason I say that was she's a great ticket seller there in New York. And I heard about two, three weeks ago that they're expecting between 7,000 and 8,000 people there on Saturday night. So a nice fight card there for them. So interested to see, you know, how Heather Hardy does do in her MMA debut. When it comes to the preliminary card, obviously the big matchup on that card would be Ryan Couture moving up to 170 pounds, taking on Chaim Gazzola. Of course, Ryan was on this podcast last week, maintained that this is not a permanent move, that, you know, it was just it was the right opponent to go up to 170, and it was a little bit of a bucket list item for him to fight at Madison Square Garden. It was also interesting to me to hear him talk about his relationship with his father, Randy Couture. Very interesting. So if you did not hear that interview, you can go back on the archives of this podcast over on RadioInfluence.com. Of course, Radio Influence is the home of this podcast. A ton of other great podcasts over there as well. So be sure to check out some of the podcasts they have over there. So that's Bellator 180, Bellator NYC. Then, of course, on Saturday night or Sunday night, you have UFC Fight Night 112 main card, 9 p.m. Eastern time on FS1. The prelims are on FS2 beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time. The reason the prelims are on FS2 is due to a NHRA drag racing, and also should we know that John Anik will be calling the fights with Dominic Cruz, and the studio analyst will be Kenny Florian, Tyron Woodley, and Tony Ferguson. So Tony Ferguson getting his first opportunity there. Of course, we'll have a complete preview of this fight card later on this week. I'll still say this. I'm pretty surprised the fact that BJ Penn, Dennis Seaver is the opening matchup of the card. You know, we'll see what BJ has left in the tank here. I would have made this a co-main event just because of the name of BJ Penn. The co-main event is actually Tim Boach versus Johnny Hendricks. A couple of you know, interesting matchups on this fight card. Interested to see the UFC debut of Dominic Reyes taking on Joachim Christensen. Tim Means Alex Garcia should be a great dynamic matchup, welterweight matchup there on the main card. Also, you have Felice Herrig versus Justine Kish. Clay Guida versus Eric Koch. I think that should be a very good fight. Clay Guida back at 155 pounds. Also, you have the return of Daryl Horschers on this fight card. Tony Martin's going to be taking on Johnny Case. Of course, we had Tony Martin on the podcast recently, so you can go back on the archives and check that out. Also, you have Jared Gordon and Michelle Quinones, which was a matchup that was supposed to take place earlier this year, canceled on weigh-in day. So myself and Daniel Gavon will have a preview podcast later on this week for this fight card. So looking forward to previewing those fights with Daniel Gavon. But really, obviously the biggest news in MMA this week was over the last week is Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, a fight that it came together. You know, I think that at one time I just thought that it would not come together, but it's coming together. August 26th. It's going to be an interesting night in combat sports. Actually, that night I'll be working for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network. But once I get out of the game, which will probably be by the time I get done with the broadcast, it'll probably be right around when that fight's going to start. And there's several bars right by Raymond James Stadium and restaurants that show boxing and MMA pay-per-views. So definitely going to try to see if I can even get in the place. I would say this. I think for anywhere that's going to show this pay-per-view, it's going to be a cover charge. I would imagine at minimum places are going to be charging at least $20 to get in, because that's not going to be a cheap pay-per-view for bars and restaurants to buy. But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of bars and restaurants that are definitely going to be showing this pay-per-view. So I am, that's going to be an interesting night. I mean, look, I don't give Floyd Mayweather much of a shot in that fight, but crazier things have happened. And man, if somehow, if he can land a shot and in Mayweather's night, that would be very interesting. But I do expect that we will see, a pretty dominating victory by Floyd Mayweather. But the other big news this week in the UFC is what was announced on Monday, that the UFC has officially stripped Jermaine de Romandamé of the UFC women's featherweight title, and Chris Cyborg versus Megan Anderson will be the co-main event of UFC 214 on July the 29th for the vacant title, which first off, is if Chris Cyborg has pay-per-view points in her contract, this is tremendous for her, because of course the main event is Daniel Cormier versus John Jones. And and of course the UFC had their statement, which to me, one of the things that was extremely interesting to me about the UFC statement, and the news was revealed via ESPN.com, and I put out the statement via, I basically just screenshot it, and I thought it was a very interesting statement by the UFC, and this is what it says, quote, UFC has informed Jermaine de Romandamé and her management team that she is being removed as the women's featherweight champion due to her unwillingness to fight the number one ranked contender, Chris Cyborg Justino. UFC maintains that any champion is expected to accept fights against the top contenders in their respective weight classes in order to maintain the integrity of the sport. Now, my tweet about that was, this kind of did make me think about the DJ situation. And of course, people responded with, well, what about Michael Bisping? And what about Conor McGregor? So that there is a lot of interesting aspects to this story that are going to bring out. And it should be noted that Jermaine de Romandamé did issue a statement, and her management team, Sucker Punch Entertainment, put out what they called a proper translation of de Romandamé's statement, and they did say that news will be coming out about her next fight soon. And this was a statement from Jermaine de Romandamé. Quote, to all my foreign fans, as most of you probably know, the UFC stripped me of the belt. For those who don't really know what this means, the UFC took back the title as I refused to fight the number one contender. I have my reasons not to fight her. I regret the fact that I heard this news via the media, but it is what it is. I hear you thinking, she's scared. What a bad champ. She's a disgrace for the sport. She doesn't deserve to be the champ, etc., etc. I've seen it all. But regardless of what everyone thinks, I will do what I think is the best for me. You can agree or disagree, but this is my decision. That I lost the title doesn't mean I'm done. On the contrary, this only means that I have more reasons to fight, literally sometimes even harder for my norms as values and for what I stand for. We're not done. It's easy to stand with the crowd, but it takes courage to stand alone. Now, that was the translation of Jermaine DeRamondame's statement via her management team, Sucker Punch Entertainment. I think the UFC statement is something that people are going to point to for a long time in terms of, and look, Michael Bisping, I think, is a perfect example. When you look at the fact of his first title defense was against Dan Henderson, who I believe at that time was number 13 title challenger in the UFC official rankings. Of course, now going to take on George St. Pierre, of course, who's not ranked, who is coming up a weight class to fight him. So I think this is something going to be very interesting to pay attention to. And, you know, I just, as I've always said, when you're talking about the UFC women's featherweight division, it's all about you are in the Chris Cyborg business. You're not in the women's featherweight business. I mean, look, we have seen that Bellator has struggled to develop a division at women's 145 pounds. You're in the Chris Cyborg business. I'd almost rather that this just be for the Invicta title, but it will be for the UFC title. You know, Megan Anderson, I'll tell you, here's who I feel bad for. Megan Anderson recently left her longtime management team and now is represented by Paradigm. I feel bad for her former management team, Poster Boy Fighters, who lost her. And of course, now she's going to, it's a huge payday for her. Look, I don't expect her to win. You know, she does have 10 fights, but I think that unless Cyborg comes in with, you know, some major injury that's not known, I expect that this will be another TKO victory. Knockout victory for Chris Cyborg, but UFC 214, which is a card that, you know, has taken some hits. You know, Duho Choi's injury, also Brian Ortega's injury. You know, it has taken, I shouldn't say Brian Ortega. I'm thinking of the guy from UFC 213 off the top of my head that I can't totally think about there, but Brian Ortega scheduled to take on Hinato Mokana as a part of that fight card. But, you know, look, you know, 214, it's probably going to be the biggest UFC event of the year unless McGregor headlines the end of the year pay-per-view, which that is the matchup that it's actually Alan Joe Bland is the fighter pulled out. He was supposed to be at UFC 213. I don't know. I just couldn't think of that off the top of my head, but it was Alan Joe Bland who had to pull out of his fight with a broken foot. But, you know, UFC 214, unless McGregor headlines at December 30th pay-per-view, this will be the biggest pay-per-view of the year. You know, it's been a really down pay-per-view year for the UFC. When you think about to this point, I mean, you know, look, UFC 211, unbelievable fight card. All signs point to did not do very good on pay-per-view. UFC 213, it is a unbelievable main card. I doubt it does well on pay-per-view. I just, you know, the UFC has got to do stuff to get people interested. And you know, obviously, look, the Mayweather-McGregor fight, I think at minimum it sells 3.5 million buys. It would not surprise me if it gets around 5 million buys because it's absolutely a vip. But, you know, look, UFC 214 is going to be a huge pay-per-view for the UFC. I personally cannot wait for Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. To me, that is a fight that I want to watch the most this year. I still do like Jon Jones coming into that, but look, we don't know what Jon Jones is going to look like. That is the big question mark, is what will Jon Jones look like when he steps in there? So we'll see what does happen there in terms of that. It's a weird week in May. There really has been no fight bookings. It's kind of crazy, which maybe we're about to get a ton of fight bookings. But one news item I want to mention before I get into the news, UFC Fight Night 111, which of course took place this past weekend, the medical suspensions have been released. Betch Gohea, Andre Arlovsky, Colby Covington, Dong Young Kim, Walt Harris, and Lee Jia Ling are all facing potential 6-month suspensions. Of course, they can come off suspension earlier if they are cleared by a doctor. Also, another note to mention, last Wednesday was the Nevada Athletic Commission hearing. It was interesting hearing the promoter's license for Dana White's Tuesday night series, which, you know, one of the things that they maintain is that this is not the UFC. This is own entity, which is one of the things that I have been told is, look, this is, it even states it in the contract that, you know, from what I've heard is that fighters, it maintains you are not a UFC fighter. You are, this is a different promotion. But, you know, one of the things that it's going to be kind of interesting about that is, that show, it's going to be interesting because I can tell you this right now. When that show starts, I actually won't record this podcast until that show is over. But, you know, there's a lot of big names going there. The UFC, as recording this podcast, has not officially come out. But, you know, there's been some great reporting by MMA-today.com. And a lot of their reporting is fight bookings that I have heard as well. But in terms of that commission hearing last week and the judges and referees for the title fights at UFC 213 were made official, as the referee for Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko will be Herb Dean. The judges for that fight will be Derek Cleary, Chris Lee, and Glenn Trowbridge, and John McCarthy will be the referee for Yoel Romero and Robert Whittaker. Your judges in that fight will be Jeff Mullen, Jucineri Camigio, and Sal D'Amato. I don't know if judges are going to be needed for either one of those fights. I think both those fights probably end in a decision, but that UFC 213 end it before the judges are needed. But UFC 213, to me, it's a tremendous fight card. I'm looking forward to it. But I will say this, that weekend in Las Vegas, Justin Gaethje versus Michael Johnson may be the fight that has me interested the most. So that should be a great, and you know, look, we're going to find out a lot about Justin Gaethje in terms of now coming over to the UFC and see what he can do there. Of course, that's going to be a major weekend. Of course, that is International Fight Week. I know somebody that was in Las Vegas about a week and a half ago. And when they got back, they told me, they said, one of the things they found interesting is they did not see any marketing for International Fight Week in Las Vegas, which I did find, I found that very interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks about, you know, kind of how the UFC does market their promotion in 2017. But right now, I do want to get into the interview portion of this week's edition of the podcast. And first up, going to let you hear my interview with Marvin Vettori. Of course, Marvin going to be stepping into the UFC cage coming up on Sunday night, UFC Fight Night 112. He is going to be taking on Vitor Miranda. This will be the second to last fight on the preliminary card on FS2. I had a chance to catch up with Marvin, and I start off my conversation with Marvin by asking him how his training camp has been going.
Good, man. Thank you for having me first. And then, no, it's been going great, man. Since I moved over here, it's been 4 months now. Since I moved over here, I train every day, twice a day, and I'm very ready. I don't need to rush on the preparation. I'm very ready, and I improve in every area of fighting. After my last loss, I went back and worked on my mistakes, especially like strategy mistakes. And man, this next fight, I'm very excited for my next fight, because I think it's a good fight to show off all my skills and the fighter that I became after my last one.
I was going to mention the fact that you've moved to California. What ultimately went into that decision of deciding that it was time to move your training to the United States?
Man, all in, right? Like, it's I wanted it. I chased it for a long time. And now that I'm in the UFC and just got in here, I got to go all in. Like, as every time I, like, Since day one, to be honest, I went all in, because when I was 18, I moved to London for 2 years, even though I didn't have any, like, even though I wasn't in the UFC, even though I was just beginning, and even though I didn't know anybody, I just went. So really, it's from day one that I went all in. But again, now, even though, like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're in the UFC now, and like, it's going to be easier. No way. No, like, again, put myself in out of the comfort zone, obviously. Even though I like it over here, it's different. But again, I put myself out of the comfort zone over here, came here. And yeah, man, living here is it's good. But at the same time, it's not easy, because obviously, again, away from, like, so like I said, all in, and I'm very confident I'll make it. And I came here because obviously the training is way better, and I have everything around me, and Kings MMA, it's an awesome gym to train, and the environment and Master Cordero, it's just like awesome, and I can see myself improving day in, day out, and so I'm happy for the decision that I took.
What is the biggest difference from living in Italy as opposed to living in California?
To be honest, I haven't been living in Italy like permanently, especially in my house, really for the last 5 years probably. Because even though when I went back, when I came back from London, I stayed for 6 months there, but even then, I was always around Italy, like always traveling to try to get the best trainings around Italy, and training in a gym down in Milan, and because I live very up north, where I live is a very small village. There isn't basically any MMA. I made it up, but I made it work. So yeah, so I had to travel all the time anyway, and I stayed there for 6 months, and then after I had 3 fights in Italy, won the Venator tournament, and then they gave me a good opponent, and so I knew I needed to step up my level of training, and so started to train and do camps over here. Then I did like 5-6 camps, so basically I was coming here 2-3 months, going back to Italy for like a month or so, and then a month and a half. So really, I didn't live in Italy like permanently for a long period for more than like 5-6 years now.
What do you enjoy the most about living in California? Is there a certain aspect that you just love? Is it the weather? I mean, is there something about California that you just love?
The training, man. The training and the people the environment of the gym. That's what I love the most, to be honest. Because if it wasn't for that, to be honest, I love Italy, man. Italy is just the best. I think Italy is the best place in the world. But man, you gotta sacrifice. You gotta make sacrifice to get where you wanna get. So. And but yeah, no, the people in the gym, and then yeah, the sea, the weather is good. But I'm here for the training, and I know it is, and that's why I don't waste any time. I'm super focused, and yeah, that's, I'm all in. I'm not a guy that trains here and there, and then do camps, and then after camp just relax and take like a month off or anything like that. No, man, I know I'm here to get to the top, and I want to make it as soon as possible. So now that I'm here, and I can train the way I want, and I don't have to always like do camps, and I can be always ready. I want to fight even more, like, because before it was hard. I had to organize. Like, I needed to schedule my fight a while before, because I needed to get my ticket. And actually, I always was get. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard because I always had like to kind of like how do I say, like prevision. Predict that my fight would have been like in 3 months roughly, and hope that the fight would have happened, come here, started to train, because otherwise I didn't have enough time, like, because normally UFC gives you the fight like 7 to 8 weeks before. Mm-hmm. But obviously if I buy the ticket just 7-8 weeks before, it's very expensive if I buy like super quick. So I needed to buy the ticket before, and then hope that they were giving me a fight, so I was already here when they were giving me a fight, so the right time to train. And so that was kind of an issue for like not being always fight prepared, because I had to predict and take my time to organize my flight over here and everything. But now that I'm here and I can be always ready, I can fight more.
This is your third fight in the UFC, and I know that you always can't control the way the fans and the media think of you, but if you had a chance to talk to the fans out there, what would you want them to know when they hear your name? When they hear your name, and is there something you want them to think of immediately?
Man, my nickname is the Italian Dream, and it's because I didn't, like, from day one, I didn't make an excuse. Maybe because I was naive, a lot, very naive, but I always believed 100% on what I wanted, and didn't think about, like, sometimes if you think about the possibility that you can have, you're never gonna do anything. So when fans think about me, I want them to think about somebody that always believed 100% in itself and always went for it no matter what. Didn't make an excuse. Get out of their comfort zone as soon as I could. I mean, like, finished the school and just left my country. And I never stopped. Unstoppable. That's what I want to think about me, like somebody that is unstoppable, like a juggernaut. It's no matter what, it's going to happen.
And in terms of this fight against Vitor Miranda, A, what gets you excited for this fight? And also, what sticks out to you when you watch Vitor Miranda and what he does well?
Yeah, I mean, it's an average to good fighter. His background is Muay Thai, right? So it's a striker, and the rest is kind of average. It's not easy to finish, but like I said before, in other interviews, I mean, I want to beat him every second of every round. So, and his best weapon is the striking. And man, but over here, Kings MMA, striking is our thing too, mostly. Like, so I'm not even one bit scared of standing and exchange with him in the striking. So I'm actually really happy about it. I know his best weapon is striking, and probably he's not gonna even try to take me down. But if it does, then more than welcome to try. But so that's what I like. I can show off my striking skills and show off what real MMA striking it's all about.
And, of course, this fight is going to be taking part on Sunday on FS1 in Oklahoma City. Are you planning to stay in Oklahoma City to do anything there, or is it have the fight and then right back to California and right back to training?
I'm actually going to be right back, and then I have to go back. I'll go back to Italy for, like, 10 days because I have to do some stuff for sponsor and stuff over there. And then even though I'll be probably, like, doing some training still there, and then I'll be back and back training. Again, getting ready for my next fight.
Final thing I got to mention here. I've noticed you've been asking for Eric Spicely to show up to a jiu-jitsu class. So why do you want to fight Eric Spicely?
Oh, because his last fight, he was with another Italian guy, which is my friend. And I think that my friend, it's obviously it's not Eric Spicely's fault, but I think that my friend didn't get to show off his his value, and so that's one reason. Second reason, I think it's I will murder him, man. Like that's another thing. I think like what he does, what he has is jiu-jitsu, and jiu-jitsu is not enough for me, no way. Probably my jiu-jitsu is not enough for him, and that's his best weapon. So, and because before he said, like, after my last fight, probably didn't even watch my fights before, but he said, oh, do you know what jiu-jitsu is or something like that? And I told him, me? Like, man, I didn't tell him that, but probably he recognized it after. I fought the last guy that he fought. And the last guy that he fought, and I fought him before, he couldn't do anything to me. He didn't score one point in jiu-jitsu. Like, he just took me down at the round, but otherwise he didn't score one point. And couldn't hold me down no more for more than 1 minute or something. So, and what it did to him is just completely different. What it did to him is like just murder him. Like, I think he tried to. I think Spicely kind of like. Try to challenge him where Antonio Carlos Jr. Was best, so kind of mess up. Tried to mess up his game plan, kind of, but he's just completely fucked up. It's just like he got fucked up in the ground. He couldn't do anything. He just got like he got like Zapato took his back and just choked him.
But of course, your fight is coming up here on Sunday. UFC Fight Night 112 against Vitor Miranda. Marvin, I really appreciate the time. And let everyone know where they can follow you at on social media.
Very easy. Marvin Vettori on Instagram, Marvin Vettori in Facebook, and Marvin Vettori in Twitter.
And there you have my conversation with Marvin Vettori. I really do appreciate Marvin coming on the podcast, talk about his fight coming up on Sunday night, UFC Fight Night 112, as he takes on Vitor Miranda. Of course, this will be Marvin's first fight since dropping that decision to Antonio Carlos Jr. at UFC 207. Of course, you hear him talking about wanting that matchup there against Eric Spicely. But of course, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we'll have a preview of UFC Fight Night 112 coming up on Friday morning. It will go up on RadioInfluence.com. Of course, we're also going to preview Bellator NYC. Of course, when it comes to that UFC Fight Night card on Sunday, of course, everyone's going to talk about Michael Chiesa and Kevin Lee. As you know, of course, we all remember what happened there at the summer kickoff press conference when the two of those guys got into it there. And it'll be interesting to see if you know, during the media days and everything this week, you know, does Kevin Lee try to poke Michael Chiesa a little bit, try to make him an emotional fighter going into Sunday night? As I also mentioned, the fight that I'm really excited for, that fight card, Tim Means, Alex Garcia. I think that's that to me is going to be the sleeper fight of the night on this fight card. Also mentioned Dom Reyes, a guy who I've had a chance to talk to a couple of times, making his UFC debut. And when I chatted with him right after his last fight there at LFA 13, you know, and of course, you know, that video went viral. When I asked him, I said, what do you want people to know about you? Because everyone's going to think of you as this guy who scored this massive, you know, knockout in a viral video. And the thing he said that he wants everyone to know is that he's intelligent. So, you know, a decent, you know, fight night card on Sunday night. Of course, you know, this week, I still think that everyone's going to be, in a way, kind of talking about Bellator NYC. We'll see how well it does on pay-per-view. But of course, as I mentioned, I will have a preview podcast coming up later this week for Bellator NYC and also UFC Fight Night 112. But coming up next, going to let you hear my conversation with Jakar Close, who is 7-0-1 in his career, made his UFC debut back in January, scored a unanimous decision win over Devin Powell. He is a product out of the MMA lab, came to the UFC after having one fight in the RFA. His last three fights have actually gone to a decision, 2-0-1 in his last three fights. And I started off my conversation with Jakar by asking him if he thinks because you always hear about the UFC jitters. And I asked him, I said, hey, did you experience any of those UFC jitters?
They weren't, because I train here in Phoenix. This is where I live now. It was just like in my backyard, so I didn't feel like it had more jitters at weigh-ins, but once it was fight time, it just felt normal.
Why jitters at the weigh-ins?
I don't know. That was my first time. Like, I was standing there and then like, you know, they're calling the guys and it was getting closer to when they're calling my name and like my knees start getting weak. I was like, oh, I told my coach, I was like, I hope I don't pass out when I get up here. But everything was good. Once I went through the cage, I don't know, something just went through my body and I felt good. It got me motivated.
Are you ever a nervous fighter on fight night?
I'm not. I've been doing wrestling my whole life, competing. So it's just, to me, it's just another competition.
And you got Mark Diakis for this fight. When you get the fight offer, were you what went through your mind when you get the fight offer? And Tim, were you maybe surprised at all that was a fight offer?
No. I was trying to get a fight soon because I didn't take much. I didn't take any damage in my first fight, and then it's been like 6 months. So I talked to Sean Shelby out in Buffalo, and you know, a week later he gave me whatever his name is. I don't even know his name. I refuse to learn his name. So yep.
Okay, why do you refuse to learn his name?
It just I don't care. I don't care for him. I'm pretty sure he knows my name, but he's just another opponent.
I know the two of you have gone back on social media. I guess you could say trash talking. I know you're not intimidated by that, but kind of is it kind of you just kind of poking at him, you know, leading up to this fight?
I think that's what he does. He likes to talk trash to get in his opponent's head. The dudes that he's fought, I think they were scared of him. I'm a different breed. I'm from Michigan, born and raised out there, and he's not going to scare me.
You mentioned about, you know, you live there in Arizona, in the Phoenix area, training there at the lab. What's the difference of, you know, training in Glendale as opposed to growing up in Michigan?
Like Michigan molded me. Living out here in Arizona, it polished me. It made me to the man I am today. So, like, I love Michigan. My heart's in Michigan, but Arizona is where, like, what made me the man I am today. So I'm glad I came out here to Arizona. It changed my life.
In terms of maybe a goal you want to accomplish at some point this year, where is fighting on that? It sounds like the UFC is going to do early December pay-per-view in Detroit. Where is that? Is that a bucket list item for you this year to be on that card?
I would love to compete in my hometown right there. I wrestled out in Michigan 4 years for the state tournament, just to go back and, you know, represent Michigan and put Michigan on the map. I would love to do that. So hopefully my manager can talk to Sean Shelby and get that going.
One of the things as a fighter, you know, there's always perceptions, fans, media members, whoever, you know, observers of MMA are going to see. And it's really it's something you can't control. But if you could control that, what would you want people to know, you know, when they hear your name? Is there something that you would want them to think about when they hear your name?
Exciting fights, a great person. Like, I don't care about the fame, you know, this is what I grew up doing. I love doing this. I just want the money, the fame, you know, I don't care. I think that's what, whoever I'm fighting, whatever his name is, I think that he wants the fame. I don't think he puts the work in like me. Mm-hmm. So.
You mentioned about, you know, wanting to be an exciting fighter. How do you bridge it to where, yes, you're exciting, but you're also, you know, doing the right things you need to do on fight night to make sure that the victory comes? Is it a little bit of a thin line of being exciting, but also making sure that you're not being, you know, reckless and aggressive?
Just keep my emotions down, you know, listen to my coaches, you know, just do what I've been doing for the past, 6 years to get me here, you know, with fighting and just, you know, stay humble, stay grounded.
In terms of Mark and what you see on film with him, what do you think he does the best?
Be honest, I've probably only watched maybe a minute of him fighting, and it looks like he runs around and does like little fancy stuff. I think everyone he's fought is from over in England, wherever he's from. Mm-hmm. He hasn't fought an American, someone that's college wrestle, someone that's going to put the pressure on him, someone that can take a punch. So we're going to see what he's all about July 7th.
Do you think that he has any – do you think his wrestling – what's your thoughts on his wrestling? I mean, obviously that's your background. What's your thoughts on if – you know, what you think he can do if the fight does hit the mat?
He's training over here in the U.S., so his wrestling can't be that good if he has to come over here to train. So,
and this your last three fights, your 2-0-1, all those fights have gone to a decision. You know, some guys will say, you know, they absolutely hate it when they go to a decision, even if they get a win. You know, yes, you're happy you got the win, but you didn't want to go all 15 minutes. For you, how do you look back at your last three fights in terms of the fact that they've all gone the distance?
Just performance, besides draw. As long as I, you know, win all every round of the fight, I'm good with that.
In terms of life outside of fighting for you, when you've got some downtime, what do you like to do for fun?
Be honest, right now it's a pretty boring lifestyle because I want to get that belt. So you have to put the time in. I can't fight forever. Just come home and hang out with my roommates, watch TV. Really not in too big into playing video games. That's about it. And then back to training, train every day.
Gotta
get my better.
Is there a go-to television show for you that, you know, you just want to kind of burn off 30 minutes, an hour that you go and watch?
Right now, I'm watching, like when fight time comes, it's always the Food Network. So right now I'm watching Drives, Diners, and Ditch, whatever it's called. But that's all I watch when it's fight time. But I'm also watching season 7 of The Walking Dead because I didn't watch the last episodes. So I'm getting that started up.
You mentioned about food, and you're definitely not the first guy that's told me, as you're cutting down weight, for whatever reason, you sit there and watch the Food Network. But when you're not in camp, is there a particular type of food that you just like to go out and get or even make on your own?
I'm a pizza and cookies type of guy. I eat my cookies late night. I'll wake up around maybe 1 in the morning. I'll have a couple cookies and I'll eat the whole pack and then back to bed.
Well, what's is there a certain type of cookie that's a go-to?
Chips Ahoy. Chips Ahoy.
Oh, I can definitely dig that. But of course, your fight coming up here July 7th in Las Vegas, the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 finale. Any predictions on how you get the victory in this fight?
Yes, me getting my hand raised.
It's a very simple, easy way to go there. I really do appreciate time. Let everyone know where they can follow you on social media.
You can follow me on Instagram at Jakar Close. Also, Twitter, Jakar Close.
And there you have my conversation with Jakar Close. I appreciate him coming on the podcast. Talk about his fight coming up on Friday night, July the 7th, the Ultimate Fighter Season 25 finale, as he is going to take on Mark Diakite. Of course, Mark Diakite, also a fellow undefeated fighter, so we'll see how that fight card does play out there. Of course, that's the event that's going to be headlined by Justin Gaethje and Michael Johnson. Absolutely love that fight. That is one of probably my most anticipated fights coming up here in the next couple of months there. Michael Johnson, Justin Gaethje. And, look, if Gaethje gets a win there, you got to think that he is going to be kind of skyrocketed right in there to that top five mix there for a lightweight. Could you imagine what a potential Justin Gaethje-Conor McGregor fight might look like? Oh, man. I love Justin Gaethje. Is just one of those fighters. Must watch TV. Of course, this fight card is pretty much complete at this point. They've already announced 10 fights on this fight card. And, it only looks like they're going to have two fights from the Ultimate Fighter Season 25, of course, the finals, of course, that tournament is still going on. This fight card does have some notable names on it. Gray Maynard, Chiruto Ishihara. Of course, you listen to the preview post-fight podcast, you know how much love me and Daniel have for Chiruto Ishihara just based on his Instagram. Jared Cannonier, Steve Bossy, that should be an interesting matchup there as well. Should be a fight that probably only goes one round or so, but we should see how that matchup between Jakar Close and Mark Diakite does go down. Now, coming up next, our next two interviews, our final two interviews here on this podcast, our fighters will be fighting Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. First up, you're going to hear my conversation with Douglas Lima, the Bellator welterweight champion. Of course, it was literally about a day or two before his matchup against Lorenz Larkin was announced. I actually did a video interview with him. We kind of talked about it. Of course, this is the matchup that he wanted. And, Lima's in it. Man, you talked about a guy's in a great position to potentially be known as one of the best welterweights in the world over his next two fights. Of course, should be noted that, Ben Askren will be in attendance on Saturday night, which, makes you wonder with what his current contract situation is with ONE FC or ONE Championship, excuse me, if, maybe we see Ben Askren back in Bellator at some time. But I started my interview off with Douglas Lima by asking him if he was surprised how quickly this fight came together.
How's it going, brother? No, man, wasn't surprised at all. I mean, it's the fight that made sense, at the time. Everybody else was booked. And this was the biggest fight to make, at welterweight. and especially in this big show, you know, that's the fight that they needed. You know, they needed an explosive, exciting fight like this, and, you know, we're going to steal the show.
Would you say Lorenz Larkin is the biggest name fighter of your career at this point, or maybe would you point to a, you know, a Koreshkov or an Askren?
No, he definitely is the biggest name. You know, just, you know, coming over from the UFC, those guys there get a lot more attention. You know, as far as rankings goes, you know, I fought guys like him, but as far as biggest name, he's definitely at the top right now.
When you started to prepare for this fight, and you know, you start watching the film of Lorenz Larkin, what stuck out to you about him? That what makes him so good?
Man, I used to watch him before. You know, since he first joined UFC, he was back to UFC when he first dropped to welterweight. I've always watched him, but I knew already his style. I knew how he fought. You know, the way he strikes and stuff like that. Man, he's just a tough guy, you know, fought a lot of big names before, you know, he's been to some wars, and, you know, that's it.
How would you say his striking compares to Andrei Koreshkov?
Different styles for sure. Koreshkov mixes it up really good, you know, with the takedowns and stuff. Larkin is more of a striker. He doesn't shoot as often, you know, as Andrei's, and, I would say it's more similar to Daly's, you know, Paul Daly's striking than Koreshkov. You know, I fought guys like him. I know he moves a lot more than most guys, so, and it's pretty quick too. So, you know, we just gotta adjust some things. We're ready for him.
I understand there is pressure in every fight, no matter, you know, who you're fighting, what the stage is and all that. But have you put any more additional pressure on yourself because of, you know, hey, it's pay-per-view and this fight is a fight that pretty much all of the Bellator fans are looking at on that pay-per-view saying that's the fight we want to watch?
No, man, no extra pressure, just more excitement. man, it's just big, man. Big, you know, big card, you know, being a pay-per-view. No, man, I just plan to let everything go, you know. Don't let, you know, stuff like media, you know, big crowd, don't let that get in my way. You know, I'm just going to go over there, get ready to perform. Train so hard for this, man. I train really hard. So, nothing's going to get in my way, man. I'm going to go over there and finish this guy.
I remember when we talked prior to your second fight against Koreshkov in Israel that your dad came from Brazil to Israel for your fight. So is your dad coming to New York City for this fight?
Man, I wish he could, but he can't get into the U.S. yet. You know, there's some paperwork that needs to be done, and not yet. Man, I wish he could. You know, he's going to be watching from back home in Brazil this time. So just my brother and my coaches goes this time.
Does your dad send you any motivational messages, you know, before fight or maybe even just say, you know, say something to you, maybe a text message for the fight that is something of a routine?
No, he just tells me not to get beat up. I always talk to him before the fight, you know, my mom and dad, you know, they worry about it a lot, you know, but my dad is a little more chill, you know, he just... He loves me. He loves it when we win, you know what I mean? We making a, you know, career to ourselves. Just supports us very much, you know.
A win here would set up what everyone expects to be Rory McDonald. I know you're not looking ahead, but what was your thoughts on Rory's performance against Paul Daly?
I liked it, man. I liked that he came that way, came to his old self, you know. Really ran in there, outstroke him, took him down, got the job done. You know, great. You know, just great. You know, me and our fight's going to be even better. More eyes, you know what I mean? So, looking forward to it, man. Of course, I can't speak much about it now. I got a big test ahead of me. But, man, really looking forward to that fight. I can't wait to fight him, man. I can't wait.
I guess this is a great situation for you because this ultimately, you know, potentially, you know, here with Lorenz and we'll see what happens after this fact of Do you feel like that potentially these next two fights will maybe get that respect you deserve, you know, from the fans that maybe don't necessarily always watch Bellator?
Oh, for sure, man. This could be, you know, the best year of my career, you know. It will be. It will be, man. I know it will. You know, I got, you know, these two guys I had, man, two wins that could really change my career, you know, for the best even more, you know, get more people to know who I am. And, yeah, man, I just got to make it happen. It's all in front of me. I just got to do it, man. Definitely going to be the biggest year of my career.
For those people that do not know who you are, what would you want those fans to know about you?
Man, I want them to know that I come to fight and I come to finish, you know, deliver explosive KOs, you know, explosive finishes, and, you know, a fighter that fight for the fans, you know, bring the type of fight the fans like to watch, you know, so, you know, they'll soon know.
I got to ask you about the press conference they had when they initially announced this event. As you're sitting up there and you see Shel Sonnen doing his thing, what's going through your mind?
Man, about Shel Sonnen, guy's a genius. I want to speak like him. You know what I mean? It's like, man, it was pretty good, man. Pretty good conference. And I call it a Shel Sonnen conference, but it was pretty good. Have all those legends there in one room, you know, Fader next to me. It's pretty cool, man. Very exciting, you know, being inside that arena. And, man, it's here. 1 week away, man. Can't wait to see everything happening.
In terms of what's fight week like for you? Is it just the mental side of preparations at that point because all the manual labor is done? Is it just about kind of just putting your mind in the right place?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, pretty much weight cut week. That's what I call, you know, get the last few pounds off, you know, rest as much as possible, you know, train once a day. You know, I just train at night where I cut the weight, you know what I mean? Light training, just get a good sweat, you know, do the media stuff that I need to do and fight, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
I know we have talked about how, you know, your nutrition has changed over the last year. So, you know, is there any new food item that all of a sudden you're eating now that maybe you weren't eating a year ago?
Man, honestly, just eating, you know, eating. I used to do freaking nuts for 7 days straight before weighing. I nearly killed myself with just freaking cashews and almonds, you know what I mean? That's all I used to eat. You know, so it's good, man. It's good that I finally found, you know, somebody that could really help me out on that. You know, that really can change. It really does change the way you perform, you know. Man, diet's super important when it comes to training camp. And, you know, I'm glad that's better, you know, and I can make this weight better, healthier, you know, and not put my body through that misery that I used to. So it feels good.
And there you have my conversation with Douglas Lima, the Bellator welterweight champion. And, I mean, this is a guy that if he can win his next two fights, which would be Lorenz Larkin and Rory McDonald, he is definitely going to be considered a top five 170-pound fighter. And that's kind of a major accomplishment when you're talking about not being in the UFC. But, you know, to me, when it comes to that fight card on Saturday night, Douglas Lima, Lorenz Larkin, by far, is my number one fight on that fight card. You know, when you look at that Bellator NYC pay-per-view, I think it's one of those fight cards, and Scott Coker always kind of talks about, you know, when they put on these big fight cards of kind of trying to have fights for all type of fans, and that's what I think they have done here. You know, you've got the two fights at the top, you know, the older fighters, and then you've got, you know, the two just title fights, legit title fights, and then of course you have the Bellator or the MMA debut of Aaron Pico. But to me, the thing that's ultimately drawing me to that pay-per-view is Douglas Lima, Lorenz Larkin. I think most likely it plays out on the feet, but you know, when you go back to Lima's fight against Paul Daly, he utilized his takedowns and against the fence, so maybe that's what we're going to see here. But that should be one hell of a fight between Douglas Lima and Lorenz Larkin. Really looking forward to watching those two guys go at it. Now, our final interview here on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast is with one of the rising fighters at 145 pounds, and that is James Gallagher. Of course, everyone knows what James has been able to do since coming over to Bellator last year. Of course, everyone, you know, we came to Bellator, everyone knew him as, you know, a guy that's around Conor McGregor, but he is 6-0, 5 of 6 wins have come via submission, either by rear naked choke or guillotine choke. He's coming off that win back in February, but I did have a chance to catch up with James late last week, and I just started off my interview by asking how things are going.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Obviously, you're one of the biggest names on this card. Everyone, you know, calls you a rising prospect. And as a fighter, I know that you can never ultimately control the way the fans and the media view you. If you could control that, what would you want people to think when they hear your name?
My goal is when someone hears my name, I want them to think that's the greatest fighter of all time. That's what my plan is. That's what I'm working for. So it is, but now when people hear my name, they're thinking that's that James Gallagher kid from Sudan. He's an absolute animal. That's what people think now. But whatever, people can think what they want. I know what I know, and that's it. It doesn't really bother me what people think of me, to be honest.
Why do so many fighters on the Bellator roster call you out? Did you just think that they want to get the rub off of you know what you have built up to this point? I mean, you've got guys who aren't even in your weight class mentioning you. Why do you think that is?
Would you blame them? You know what I mean? I'm 20 years old. I'm the most talked about fighter on Bellator. I'm an absolute animal. I come from Strabane and Ireland, and they just want a bit of what I got. Do you know what I mean? And that's the mindset that they've got there. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference to me. I don't want any of them bums. Do you know what I mean? I want world champions. I want to fight for the belt. That's just the difference in the mindset. They don't got that mindset. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not a world champion yet. Make that a big yes, because I'm going to be. But I'm like, why would you even bother? Do you know what I mean? But I can't blame them. They're just a bit jealous or some shit that they haven't got that pop that I do. They haven't got what I got, and that's what they want. They just that feeling. But what I got is a mindset that can't be broken. A mindset that no one else I feel in the whole Bellator division's got. And I feel like that's the difference. And they're never going to have that. And that they're trying, but they just won't.
Anyone that has watched you fight or have seen pictures of you, have seen the tattoos you have on your body. I was wondering, what was the first tattoo you got, and what made you decide to get a tattoo at that point?
The first tattoo I got, I was like 15 years old or something. And I got the SDG logo, my gym strip last gym. Yeah, I really liked the logo of it. I thought it was cool, and I just wanted to, like, you know what I mean, represent my team, and I wanted a tattoo, so I thought it was the perfect one to get.
What's the last tattoo you got?
The last one is I got the map of Ireland, so it is the country that I come from. I'm a proud Irishman, and I've got the map of Ireland tattooed on my ribs.
And, of course, you're taking on Chinzo Machida here. And in a recent interview, you said that people are going to be shocked when they see me walk out and breeze through this. Why do you think people are going to be shocked? Do you feel like people are underestimating you at all in this fight?
No, I don't feel like people, like, I feel like people are thinking that I'm going to go out here and beat him. But I think people are going to think that I'm not, I don't think people are going to think I'm going to beat him in the way that I am. This one is going to be a highlight reel. This is going to be a jaw dropper. So it is, and this is what I expect from myself. And I don't think anyone else expected, but I expect from myself. And a lot of people are going to be shocked. And just how I pursue, how I walk out here and how I go about things, people are going to be shocked at it. 20 years old, fighting the most historic venue in the world. just tune in and watch how I'm going to go about this, and watch how clean and how precise that I'm going to do it, and how confident I'm going to be walking out here in this big arena with all my Irish fans and Irish American fans coming out to support me. It's going to be a clinic. It's going to be one for people coming up to watch how a young kid walks out in the biggest arena in the world and smokes some more older bloke.
Do you think Chinzo's even in your league?
He's a very good fighter. I'm not underestimating him. I'm coming in here and I'm like, you know what I mean? He's going to be there for the fight, and I am definitely not underestimating anyone. I've done it once before, and I will never do it again. And I will never underestimate anyone. I've come in here, I've put in the work, I've put in serious work for this, but I don't think anyone in the whole division is in my league. I feel like I branch off on my own. Everyone's like, everyone these days are like, I'm like the new generation. Do you know what I mean? But I don't even class myself as the new generation. I'm a break off from that. I'm in a league of my own.
Do you have a timetable of how long it's going to be before you fight for the Bellator featherweight title?
Yeah, after this one, I'll give it a fight for it tonight if they give me. So I will. I keep up with them, and I won't stop until I get it. I want my hands in that belt. I feel it's mine for the taking. I've worked all my life for this, and I'm going to get it.
It was just recently announced that you had signed with Paradigm Sports Management, and when people see a fighter switch management companies, they immediately say, okay, the contract must be coming up. So are you already renegotiating your deal with Bellator?
No, I've already... I have another... Yeah, before any contracts come up, I have a good few fights left with Bellator. And yeah, I've signed with Paradigm. They're a good company to work with, and they work closely with my team as well. And there's a few other people on my team, Connor, and stuff, signed with them. And I know Audi personally and stuff, and I'm happy to sign with them and stuff. But I'm happy at Bellator. My contracts are good, and I'm happy with everything. I was like another five, I think, with them or something like this. And yeah, everything's good. Everything's smooth. And next week, my fight's going to be a hell of a lot smoother.
And I appreciate James Gallagher coming on the podcast, talking about his fight coming up on Saturday night, a part of Bellator 180 on Spike as he takes on Chinzo Machida. Big matchup there. And, look, I think we're going to find out a lot about James Gallagher. It was interesting to hear him talk about his contract, you know, preface it by saying, hey, I'm very happy with Bellator, but he only has two fights left on his deal. I think that he most likely fights out his contract and he sees what Bellator has to offer. But, one of the interesting things about free agency actually came from Matt Mitrione this week in the interview he did with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour. And if you've not checked out that interview with Mitrione, you definitely should check it out. It is a fact of, he talked about, there's not really free agency in MMA. He says, and of course, if you relate to the NFL, there is no free agency, because essentially when you're at that level, there is only two options. Yes, there may be a 1FC and maybe, a Russian promotion, but overall, there's only two options. And, look, for a guy like Matt Mitrione, it's worked out. For a guy like Rory McDonald, it's worked out. But did free agency work out for Alistair Overeem? Maybe it did. Maybe in his mind it did. But, when Bellator didn't seem interested, did it work out for Aljamain Sterling? No, it did not. And so that's got to be the question mark for James Gallagher as he kind of, sits down and has that conversation with Paradigm Sports Management and Audie Atara of what do you do. And I'll tell you this, it would not surprise me if maybe Conor McGregor plays a little bit of role if the UFC is going to show interest. But if James Gallagher can get two wins in his next fight, I mean, look, he puts himself in a great situation. He mentions about wanting that title matchup. I don't see it happening, in his next fight. Even if, something crazier happened, Bellator's not going to give him a title fight unless he signs a long-term extension with the promotion. And, I think in the end of the day, Bellator is going to put a nice size offer out there for James Gallagher. And, you know, because I always I do wonder, and it seems like James has kind of moved on past this, but, you know, I do feel like the James Gallagher-AJ McKee fight is a fight that I think there could be something made there, but time is going to tell on that. But, of course, James will be a part of that televised card on Spike, going to be, of course, called by Mike Goldberg. I tell you, it is going to be weird to hear Mike Goldberg calling Bellator fights as opposed to UFC fights. But look, I think we all knew when Mike was let go from the UFC that he was Bellator bound. And look, I think Bellator has made a drastic improvement in terms of their announced team in terms of MMA. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how, you know, Mauro and Jimmy and Mike and Jimmy gel as a broadcast team. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, that's on Saturday night. Of course, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you got LFA on Friday night. So if you're looking for some MMA action, LFA is definitely a card to check out there. Eric Anders taking on Brent Allen for the inaugural middleweight title. And I would say this is if that does... the winner of that matchup could definitely be right there in line for a title fight. So be on the lookout, for the winner of that matchup. Of course, that's coming up on Friday night, takes place at the Arena Theater in Houston, Texas. Also mentioned that the co-main event is for the inaugural flyweight title, as you got two undefeated fighters, Roberto Sanchez and Jerome Rivera. Also, Colby Northcutt, the younger sister of Sage Northcutt, she is a part of this fight card, making her pro debut. So I'm sure it'll be a good night of fights there on Access TV with LFA. And, of course, on Saturday, you have Cage Warriors 85. Coming up on Friday of this week, you can listen to the preview podcast as myself and Daniel Galvan will preview Bellator NYC, Bellator 180, and UFC Fight Night 112 already up on RadioInfluence.com is a new episode of the MMA Insiders podcast. We talked about a lot of things, including the passing of Tim Hay. Got into that. Did not really want to talk about that here on this podcast just because we talked about that on the Insiders podcast. Also, we'll talk a little bit on that podcast. We talk about Demetrius Johnson, that entire situation. Also, you'll hear my thoughts on the Mixed Martial Arts Journalism Association. Talked about that. So be sure to check out the MMA Insiders podcast. Also, check out all the shows over there at RadioFluence.com. Got a lot of great shows from Flavor of the Year with Ian Beckles, Duff Fight Live with Brian Duffy. Also, you can check out Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger, Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill, just to name a few. So be sure to check out all the shows over there at RadioInfluence.com. If you're not following me on Twitter, please do that at Jason_Floyd. Also, be sure if you're not subscribed to this podcast, please subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. Just search the MMA Report and you will find me right there. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the MMA Report podcast. I'll be back on Friday for the preview podcast. Of course, next week on the podcast, we'll be having another lineup of fighters that are going to be having fights coming up. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. It's here every Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com.
Hey, Beyond the Badge family, it's Vincent Hill. Unfortunately, I can't come to you live this week. Other obligations have me away. But next week, I assure you, you don't want to miss Beyond the Badge. I dive deep into the shooting death of Philando Castile in Minnesota. The officer was acquitted. Also, Colin Kaepernick back in the news, comparing modern-day policing to old-time slavery. You don't want to miss it. Beyond the Badge next Tuesday, 8 p.m., right here, RadioInfluence.com.